Browns fade.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, we want you to design our end zone banners this season. We're selecting three winning designs to be revealed to 68,000 fans at First Energy Stadium. The winning designs receive game tickets, sideline passes, and a customized jersey. To enter, visit ClevelandBrowns.com right now. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm continuing to hand out our grades, and we're going to get into the mailbag in just a second here on this Mailbag Wednesday. And Matt, we'll start on the defense with the defensive line, a group that went into the game with only four healthy guys: Armani Bryant, Dez Bryant, John Hughes, who was inactive the week before, Ishmaili Kitchen, who was inactive the week before, and then Armani Bryant gets hurt. You're down to three. I'm giving them an absolute A+. This is, you want to talk about putting on your work boots, getting your lunch pail, and go out there. I think you give these guys an A+. Dez Bryant, when you needed it the most, turned out his best game. One quarterback sack, one quarterback hit, three hurries, all to lead the team. So that was great. Did a great job against the run. Ishmaili Kitchen comes in and helps stop and plug up this run defense against the Steelers team that had been very effective running the ball all season long, limiting them to 4.3 yards per carry. They did a good job there. And really, most of the damage was done by Le'Veon Bell. Had a good game, but they held down LeGarrette Blount in that power running game to 3.4 yards a carry. I thought that John Hughes played an awesome game, got his hand on the ball that was deflected, was around Ben Roethlisberger a lot. Great job against the run. Having guys step up like this is one of the reasons why it's easy to get so excited about this team, but these guys get an A+. They work their butts off.
What I love about this group is it felt Sunday like they got better every rep. They got better as the game went on. Le'Veon Bell is going to have success no matter what. He's a top five running back, I think number two right now behind DeMarco Murray in the league. And to handle him the way we did and make Big Ben in that offense one-dimensional was great. And what I think is great for us not only now but also into the future, and I'll get to my grade here in a second, is it's I think this defensive front needed that shakeup. And it took an injury, you know, a surgery from Phil Taylor and Ruben missing the game to get some fresh bodies. Yep. And I think, and I kind of talked about it maybe going into Tennessee or going into Pittsburgh, but, you know, we're still trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. Who plays best next to each other? Who plays in what packages the best moving forward? And again, for that reason, I give these guys an A. I thought they had a great performance. They set the tone, which allowed that defensive backfield and linebacking core, which we'll get to here right in a minute, to have a great game as well.
No question. Linebackers now, I'm going to give a B+ to Carlos Dansby. Great game. 8 tackles leading the team. He had a sack, now 2 on the season. He continues to impress. I thought Craig Robertson and Chris Kirksey did a good job on the inside alongside of him, filling some of those gaps on the run. Did a good job there in coverage as well. Heath Miller was a complete non-factor as a tight end. On the outside, Jabal Sheard continues to get around the quarterback a lot. Came up with a sack again. And also, like I said, around the quarterback, leads this team with 12 quarterback hurries on the season. Paul Kruger, give this guy, listen, he had an epidural to play in this game. And for people who don't understand what that means, I'm going to throw this over to you, Matt. Talk about the toughness, the desire, and the will of Paul Kruger to go out there at clearly less than 100%, take an epidural just to play in this game. What does that say to you about Paul Kruger, and what is Paul Kruger doing that say to the rest of this locker room?
What it means to me is that in a very short time, someone that has played for a rival of this club, he has learned very quickly what it means to be a Brown. And also, too, he also knows what it means to play in that rivalry versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I don't think Paul Kruger plays with an epidural against the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Oakland Raiders, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that means he's sacrificing his health and the fact that he could miss games throughout the rest of the remainder of the season to play in this one game, which because of what it means to these fans, what it meant to this team, and what a huge step it was in a great direction. And that is a guy, as we talked yesterday, that is 100% bought in to not only himself, but this team, that they are on the cusp of something very special. And it meant enough that he was going to put a needle up his back, you know, and essentially numb his spine to be able to perform in front of those fans for this club.
Yeah, women get epidurals to have children. I mean, let's just put this in perspective.
I've seen my wife get one. It's not fun.
It's not fun. No, they beg for it at the time, but it is not. It does not seem fun. But what does that say to young guys in this locker room who see a guy like Paul Kruger who's gotten paid, he's made his money, he's won a Super Bowl, and here he is at this stage of the season, the fifth game of the season, doing that? Does that something that everybody goes, oh, man, I got to step up. I got to make sure I'm handling my business, and I need, if I'm not hurting a little bit, I got to find a way to get out there and help this team.
Yes, and immediately what jumps into my mind if I'm a young guy is, oh, that's the kind of commitment you have to get paid in the National Football League. That all-in mentality, that can't miss a game, can't miss a snap, you know, can't sacrifice and sit back and rest and watch your team go out there and play without you because, and I too, and we've given Paul Kruger, we thought his season at this point after five games is by far and away, in my eyes, better than his full gamut of all 16 last year. He's playing with more passion. He's playing faster. He's playing more physical, and we see that statistically, and he didn't disappoint in his game Sunday.
No, and another guy I want to single out for his toughness is Barkevious Mingo. That shoulder is clearly an issue. He's playing with one arm out there. There were a couple of plays that he made where he got a tackle, and then he had to come to the sideline and was in pain, and he's gutting it out. You don't hear anything about it. Barkevious Mingo, three quarterback hurries in this one. He's getting there. He may not be finishing the deal like we'd like, but he is causing havoc, and he's playing very, very tough with a very painful injury to his shoulder. So I think this linebacking group, again, I give him a solid B+. They're looking good, and I think they're starting to peak, and I think this game against Jacksonville is one where they really could thrive.
I do too, and I'm going to give these guys a B+ as well. I thought they played a technically sound football game. There were a few times early, and I text you while you were on the sideline running crazy in your amazing suit in the press box that we were losing some we were losing some contain on the edges, which was frustrating for me, which allowed Le'Veon Bell to bounce the football. And again, that's one point that I want to make to you and to everybody that's listening is Coach Pettine, if you're listening, which I know you're not, you're busy on the bigger things, but I want to dive into this playbook. I want to understand responsibilities of these players because it's hard for me to be critical if a guy has a two-way go, you know, on a tackle or a tight end, and he makes that inside move, and Le'Veon Bell bounces it because I've played in schemes that are different. So for that reason, it's something that's easily fixed, but a B+ by the solid group.
Sometimes, at least as I was trying to get some clarification on this as well, where, you know, they would lose the outside contain and make that inside move. Sometimes, I believe, my understanding is they're being coached to spill the play so that either the inside linebacker or the safety can come and get that outside angle.
And it just so happened that the Steelers got up on the tackler.
They just got quicker.
You know, up on the tackle. And it bounced much sooner. I got you. That makes sense to me.
Okay, so that's one of the things that's happening there. All right, go to the defensive backfield. Buster Screen had his best game of the year, comes up with the interception, but great pass defense, great coverage all day long. I thought Joe Hayden played very well. I know you'd say, oh, well, Antonio Brown had seven catches for 118 yards. Many were meaningless.
Garbage time.
A lot of them were garbage time. Joe played great, and when they challenged him deep, he knocked the pass down. Two passes defensed on the day. Buster Screen had four. Kaywan Williams, hopefully the young man is okay with the concussion, continues to impress, had a near interception himself, two pass breakups. He played phenomenally well. Justin Gilbert, I still want to see more. The tape was not as good as the result for him, in my opinion. When I break it down, still needs to be sharper on his technique and needs to understand the concepts and coverages that he's playing in so that he can play effectively. And I think he's going to have to play this week if Kaywan is not 100%. So hopefully he can clean some of that stuff up this week. I thought Dante Whitner, that big stand-up hit on Le'Veon Bell near the goal line was a massive play. Gip continues to excel in that center fielder role. I think the back end of the defense to limit Ben Roethlisberger to 228 yards on 42 attempts, just 5.4 a pop. They did a great job. I'm going to give them a solid A.
I'm giving them an A as well, and for all those reasons, again, in the play, you know you're in a good space and a good spot when you can list all the great plays they've made, you know, and the one that sticks out in my mind is, again, old Joe Hayden being Joe Hayden, that, like, dunk on you, swat away the ball, you know, a foot and a half higher than Antonio Brown. It, to me, that just looks like that's that place of dominance, and I thought we did an amazing job against a team that had been our kryptonite, and we disrupted Ben Roethlisberger. I thought the mix and match of when we were doubling Antonio Brown, the fact that they were able to hide it for a while and then run over there. I thought Big Ben, a lot of times you saw him check at the line of scrimmage, he didn't know what we were in. So that, you know, Dante and Gip are really getting comfortable back there, and that up and back between the corners is great. Solid A for me as well.
Special teams, quickly I'll give an A. Spencer Lanny did a good job punting the ball, booming it when he had to, knuckling it to get fair catches when he had to, sticking them inside the 10-yard line when he had to as well. No issues on the snaps. The field goals were both good. The return game was sound. You got a break on their special team, so a solid A for me there. And finally, the fans, A+.
That A place plus, was plus, plus.
The dog pound was loud. They were bringing it. The emotion, the energy of that building was off the charts and certainly helped the Browns get a huge win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Most definitely. Again, the fans were amazing. As I referenced last week, that was my first NFL game since playing in the Super Bowl, and I was highly impressed. That stadium is beautiful. Kudos to Jimmy Haslam and Alex Shiner on spending that money and that investment in this town and in this team, and you did not disappoint Cleveland Browns fans. The dog pound was barking, and you were there till the last tick to enjoy it.
Savoring it.
To enjoy Carlos Dansby running over, giving you five, and your quarterback and leader, Brian Hoyer, giving you five as he runs down the huddle to enjoy it with you before he enjoys it with his team.
All right, quickly, before we get to Mike Pettine's presser, where he said we would go in the mailbag, we'll do that right now. Number one from at Rather Be Golfing. Why can't we just enjoy wins and not worry about contracts? Hashtag mailbag.
Word up. I'm yes. with you, bro. I'm all in with you, bro.
Absolutely agree, and it's kind of the same question from Kyle Bond. Says, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. debated if Hoyer deserves an extension. Your thoughts? And we covered this yesterday. I don't think this is a story now. I think this is going to be worked out by Ray Farmer, Brian Hoyer's representation. If he continues to perform at this level, he will be paid handsomely because he'll be one of the best starting quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a lot of room to go. He still only started 8 games. The amazing thing is, though, he started 8 games with the Browns franchise that hasn't won more than 6 games in a season in forever, and he's 6-2 in those 8 games. Strong. Brian Hoyer is playing very well. They have Johnny Manziel here. The Browns are in a great situation right now with 2 quarterbacks that they like, and I think the business aspect of it will play itself out. But obviously, Brian Hoyer is showing that he belongs as a starter in this league and is earning a nice bit of dollar bills, y'all.
And for me, Nathan, is if that question does not get asked and stir up this bee's nest, we're not talking about this right now.
Of course not.
And we're letting the season roll on, and I love the point of, can we just not enjoy success? Enjoy the moment, Cleveland. Don't worry about next year. You will have a quarterback. There has to be 11 guys on the field. One of them has to take a snap. Whether it's Manziel or Hoyer, who cares? Enjoy it now.
Enjoy the moment, folks. That's what we need to do. That is a little dip into the mailbag. When we come back, we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, and then I will be out. Michael Redguy will be in for the second hour alongside Matt Wilhelm. So let me just say thank you for listening to another Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget to catch Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 and Sunday Strategy tonight at 7:30 on Sports Time Ohio. See ya! Nathan.